our worship service this Sunday morning on January 17th, 2021. We're thankful that you have decided to join us for worship this day. For those that are with their family and friends this morning watching via Facebook Live, welcome. Thank you for joining us for worship. We pray that you will go to the church's website, pull up the worship order for today, the bulletin, and sing along with us, read scripture with us, pray with us, and participate in worship this day. Worship is much more than just watching. It's about participating. And we want to encourage you to do this as we continue our virtual worship services. For those that are watching us on our CD ministry or on our website, thank you for choosing to join us for worship this day. And we pray that you'll be touched by the music and the scripture reading and the prayers and the time of honoring and serving God this morning. As we gather here this morning, I do want to remind you about a couple of things, specifically to our ministry teams this week. Reminder that this afternoon at 4 o'clock, we have our church council meeting. This is our monthly meeting, and this church council meeting at 4 o'clock will be via Zoom. So I sent out the Zoom link earlier this week. If you did not receive that email, please get in touch with me early this afternoon. That meeting will be at 4 o'clock this afternoon via Zoom for church council. I also want to remind our ministry teams and anybody else that if you want items to go in the February newsletter that will be coming out in just the next week or two, those articles are due to the church office today. So make sure you get those so Janice can find room and space in the newsletter to include those for this upcoming month. We know there are many ministry opportunities coming up in February that you might want to communicate about, and so we pray that you'll get those articles to Janice as soon as possible. Thank you for joining us for our first Wednesday night Bible study, our winter Bible study, session one this past Wednesday, as we started looking at the letters of Paul from Colossians to Colossians and Philemon. We will continue that Bible study this week on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. on Facebook Live. This week we'll be continuing to look at Colossians chapter 1 as we wrap up the end of that first chapter. So I encourage you to go to our website. If you didn't get a chance to join us this past week, go to our website, go to our Facebook page, and you can watch that first session and read about what we did on our study guides. The study guides can be found on the church's website. And again, this Wednesday, we'll be continuing that study, so you can go early this week to find out the study guide for this week's session. Last but not least, I do want to, again, thank you for your generosity, for your donations for our sock ministry. We're continuing that through the end of the month. This is a collection for Allied Churches. Thank you for your donations to the Benevolence Fund. Used some of those funds this week to assist a family in need. We used our pantry this week to help a family in need as well. And last but not least, thank you for your sponsoring the shut-in program as we seek to transition from CD to video DVDs in the next couple weeks. We have almost reached our goal for being able to provide DVD TVs to some of our church members who do not have that technology, and we'll be making that transition in the next week or two. So if you want to receive a DVD when we make that transition, please let us know for those who are unable to join us in worship. We will continue our virtual worship services through the month of January, and more information about February worship time will be coming up in the next couple weeks. We are gathered here this day. We are prepared to be encountered by the Holy Spirit this morning. I hope that you have an opportunity to reflect on what it means to be moved by the Holy Spirit in these next couple weeks. And let us be moved by the Spirit this morning as we sing praises to our God. I encourage you to stand and sing with us in our opening hymn.
Our first hymn this morning is Footsteps of Jesus, and the words are behind us on the screen. Please stand and sing with us as we worship.
Thank you.
morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Titus. And this morning we'll be reading chapter 3. Sorry, I'm having a little bit of technical difficulty this morning. Actually, Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. As we reflect on the grace of God and what he does in our lives on a daily basis, let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, what glorious grace you have poured out on us all who believe in Jesus Christ's finished work at Calvary. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you that we have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Thank you that we have been imputed with his perfect righteousness and his abundant life. Thank you that we have been redeemed from sin and lawlessness and been baptized into the body of Christ, so that together we may become a people for his own possession, eager to be used by you, until it is not we that live in the body, but Christ who lives in us. That is why we have come to worship this day, to proclaim our thanks, our praise, and our devotion. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is one you know very well. It is Well With My Soul. Stand and sing along with us in worship.
Thank you.
morning for our ministry highlight, I wanted to give an opportunity to update the church body on where we stand in regards to our fundraising for the parking lot. So this morning, John Farnham, who serves on our parking lot ad hoc team, will come to share where we stand, what we're looking forward to, and how this is progressing over the last couple months.
So the update this morning from the fundraising committee, I'm pleased to report that to date, as of this morning, I just took a peek, we are now officially past the $50,000 mark towards our goal of $115,000.
Amen.
That is the donations and the pledges. So I did want to let you know we're getting close to the halfway mark, but the goal is $115,000. So still a long way to go. We do want to thank the generosity of the church thus far. We are looking for creative solutions. We know it's still a long way to go, but the project doesn't start until May, so we have time. So if you have any questions, thoughts, suggestions, please contact Bill Mann, Rob Johnson, Jerry Zucker, or myself, and we're glad to talk to you about it.
Good morning. Let us pray for our offerings now. May we bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day you've given us. We thank you, Lord, also for the freedom of worship. Lord, we are so very thankful that during all this sickness and stress and unrest in our lives and our country, that we know without a shadow of a doubt that you are on your throne in total control. What peace we have in Jesus Christ. As we bring forth our offerings today, we ask that you bless the giver and the receiver, and may these gifts go to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank
you. Of this week ahead. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this day. tried to work out our own problems in our own self-sufficient strength. But we thank you, Father God, that you care so much for us that we can cast all our burdens on you and give you all the hurts and disappointments and worries that seem to be flooding our lives today. Thank you that we have the sure knowledge that you have promised to carry every anxiety and pain. We admit, dear Father, that we are weak in ourselves, but praise you that we can draw on you, your amazing strength today and the next day and the many days to come. We lift this prayer, praying in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our strength. Amen. Again, we want to thank you for joining us for worship this day, and I want to thank you for, this is going, worshiping on Facebook Live is not always easy, and I know sometimes we can get distracted by the world, but we really want to thank you for spending this time, setting aside this time of worship and praise with our church body. Just because we're not gathered together in one location does not mean that the body is not gathered together in worshiping today. So as you read scripture this morning, as you reflect on the sermon this morning, know that you've got a church body and friends and family that are gathering and doing the same thing today. Know that you are joined by that body in worship this morning. My hope is that your families have been blessed with a healthy and fulfilling week this past week. I also hope that you went out of your way this past week to start cultivating the fruit of goodness that we talked about this past Sunday. Our first fruit that we covered in the midst of this sermon series on the fruits of the Spirit. This morning, we continue our look at the fruits of the Spirit in our sermon series, Bringing the Fruit in 2021, with our resolute goal, not just my resolute goal, but our resolute goal to make a lasting impact in our lives and in the lives of so many others this new year. Today, we turn our attention to the last fruit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. And I might contend it's probably the hardest for all Christians to live out on a daily basis. Now, sometimes we leave it toward the last one to focus on to kind of wrap it up. But since it's a struggle for many of us, myself included, I thought, let's bump it toward the front of the line. Let's give it a little bit of precedence and importance this morning. This morning, we're going to talk about the fruit of self-control. As many of you know, I am a type 1 diabetic. I was diagnosed at the age of 1, and I have lived my entire life with this disease. Now, growing up, I had and I continue to have parents who taught me from a very young age about the importance and the sacrifices that I had to make in regards to keeping my blood glucose level under control. For anybody who struggles with diabetes, know this is a daily struggle. This is not something you can just think about once a week or once a month. This is a day-to-day struggle. So as a child with diabetes, I could not regularly dive into a bag of cookies if I wanted to. I could not dive into the cakes, the wonderful cakes that my mom would make growing up, and she continues to do so today. Or even, I couldn't even gorge myself on a high carbohydrate item like bread that many of us love to enjoy with every meal. I had to learn from a young age about self-control. However, there was one food. It's actually one fruit. It's the fruit that you see in front of you this morning that is and was my downfall. And I said is and was my downfall. That is the fruit of strawberries. From a very young age, I loved to consume strawberries. And if you put a bowl of strawberries in front of me, I would eat them all. If you put two bowls of strawberries in front of me, I would eat them all. If you put a bucket of strawberries in front of me, I would try to eat them all. I can't guarantee that I would be able to make it all the way through. I think I passed this love for this sweet red fruit to my youngest son, Luke. He loves strawberries as much as I do these days. I remember from a young age going with my family every spring or summertime to the local strawberry farm. Many of us have done that. We've taken our children to do that. But I remember every year we would go to a strawberry farm to pick buckets and buckets. And I'm not joking here, buckets of strawberries. That was something my family did. But my way of picking strawberries was always very unique when I went to a strawberry field. It goes a little bit like this. You pick one and you put it in the bucket. And then you pick two more to consume while nobody else is watching. And if any of you have ever been to one of these strawberry fields, you know they weigh the buckets at the end, and that's in general what you have to pay. Well, for me, it's a very good thing that they did not weigh me before I went to the strawberry field and afterwards, because I can guarantee I would have put my family into debt based on one trip to the strawberry field. They lost money on David Durham, and I'm still proud about that. However, there was one time after returning from the strawberry field with my family, there was one time that I was not feeling well after I got home. My mom, being the attentive mother that she was, thought that maybe I'd gotten too much sun. I'd been out in the sun too much, and maybe that had overwhelmed me. She encouraged me to just go lay down and that she would feel better. But it was not the heat. It was not the sun that was the problem that day. It was the amount of strawberries that I had consumed at the field. My stomach was protesting too many strawberries, something that I had never felt before, and I don't think I've ever felt again. After being sick most of the evening, after visiting the strawberry field, I learned a lesson about self-control. How well do you exercise self-control in your life today? Why is self-control necessary to live a life as a faithful Christian? I heard a story that a pastor was announced to his congregation that this next Sunday he was going to be preaching on self-control. And one of the layperson members remarked, "I don't have any problems with the self. It's the control that's tricky." Wouldn't you agree? You see, I don't have a problem with my wants and desires as long as somebody gives me what I want and desire. That's how we kind of sometimes face and approach life. That attitude leads to impatience, unkindness, and even grouchiness. And guess what? Those three are not parts of the fruits of the Spirit. This is the opposite of what we are striving to live out in this new year. So when we live a life of self-control, the result can lead to so much more fruit growing in our lives. Not just self-control, but so many other fruits. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want to encourage you to turn with me to Peter's first letter that he wrote. We're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11 this morning. These words were penned by Peter are some of the concluding words that he shared in this letter to the Jewish Christians who had been driven out of Jerusalem and were scattered across Asia Minor. With the amount of emotion and turmoil that these believers were feeling and were experiencing on a daily basis, Peter shared these words of instruction and insight into how to live a self-controlled life in the midst of the Roman Empire. Reading from 1 Peter chapter 5 this morning, starting with verse 11. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." As we reflect on these words of Peter this morning, I think there's three important makes in these words to the Jewish Christians about self-control is the reason why we should strive to practice this fruit when it takes so much restraint. As Christians, we live in a world where Satan is waiting for us to lose control. Think about it. He is just waiting for us to lose control. He knows our buttons. He knows our weaknesses. Oftentimes working in the background, he tries to persuade us that losing our cool, oftentimes that's what's called losing our self-control, that losing our cool every once in a while is not necessarily a bad thing. You know, when we think this way, we're walking on a very slippery slope, a dangerous slope. Because if nothing permanently happens, nothing bad happens when we commit this, when we lose our control just once, then it doesn't have any lasting effect. Or does it? Or does it? The truth, however, is that Satan is biding his time. He is luring you out. He is gradually pulling you out into the open area away from the source of self-control, and that is Jesus Christ. So that when he finally pounces on us, it will be an easy win. We saw some of this easy win the last couple weeks. This is why Peter uses the analogy of Satan being like a roaring lion. Out in the wild, a lioness tries to isolate the prey that she is stalking, often focusing on one prey, one victim, one that may be injured or straggling behind or has gotten separated from the group. The lioness waits until she is overwhelmed without much of a fight. Satan does the exact same thing when it comes to self-control. As Christians, we need to examine our lives to see at what parts are we struggling with self-control. What sins do we repeatedly give into so much that we have even stopped feeling guilty about them at all? Have we used our intellect to rationalize a behavior which we know deep down in our soul is wrong? This is Satan getting a foothold into our lives. Satan is a real threat in our lives. This is the reason that we should strive to live a life of self-control. The second point that Peter makes in this passage is that our true source of self-control, our safety for a dangerous world, can be found in God. We are not alone. I want you to hear that again. We are not alone. We have an ally in this battle for self-control, and his name is Yahweh, and his name is Adonai. His name is Elohim, our God. He is our ally. How do we resist the temptation of straying away from the path of self-control? We submit ourselves to God. Just as God is the source of goodness in our lives that we talked about last week, he is the source of strength that we all need that results in self-control. Oftentimes, when things are getting tough and difficulty starts surrounding us, we try to rely on ourselves. We try to think, oh, I can handle it. This often leads to greater frustration, greater disappointment, greater struggle. God has invited us to take all these difficulties that we're walking through, all these frustrations that are going on, all these concerns of the world that may be going through our heads, and to cast them upon him. That's what Peter says. Cast them on Jesus Christ. The term cast here used by Peter in this verse is the same word used to describe when the disciples cast their garments on the donkey that Jesus rode on to lead on Passover, on Palm Sunday. The same word. He wants us to cast all the temptations that we have upon him. He can carry the load. He can carry the load. Not us. He can carry it. A couple of weeks ago, I assisted my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law moving to a new home. As someone who tries to get the most amount of work completed in the littlest amount of time possible. Often I found myself stacking box upon box upon box upon box. I hear see a lot of the head shaking in here. Dave shaking her head as someone who's moving as we speak as well. Failing to give our burdens to the Lord is like a mover who stacks box and box and box and tries to carry too many boxes. But usually it's not the weight that causes the trouble. It's the fact that after we've loaded them up in our arms, it usually gets in front of our vision. We can't see. Anybody ever carry anything and try to peek around what you're carrying? That's what it's like when we try to carry it ourselves. In the same way, Satan loves us to be distracted with our own concerns that we're carrying, to the point where he will get in the way of your vision. That is usually when that roadblock, that step we weren't expecting, that little rise in the ground pops up, and the permanence of trouble is put in our path, and we stumble. This brings us to the third and final point that I think Peter makes in this letter. God not only provides shelter and security for these difficult times in our lives, but he also empowers us to share that same fruit, the fruit of self-control, with the world. Reading back verse 10, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Did you hear those words? He says he will perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Peter is talking about a self-controlled life, living it on a daily basis. When Jesus Christ was placed on the cross, it was to suffer the punishment for our lack of self-control, for our sin. Did you ever think about it that way? That when Jesus died on the cross, he was dying for our lack of self-control, our sin. We were being lifted up from the wallows of destruction and despair. Through the Holy Spirit, we are empowered with self-control that allows us to be strong and steadfast. When we remain in the Lord, the only option we have is to bear good fruit. When we're in him, that's all we produce, is good fruit. This is the promise that we have in Christ Jesus. So what does that self-control look like? Sometimes the best way to show self-control in our life is to flee. That's right. You heard me right. I didn't say surrender. I said flee. When the temptations of the world are surrounding us, tangible to the point where we recognize through Christ that we are in over our personal heads, we must remove ourselves from that situation. Have you ever taught your children that? Your grandchildren that? Why don't we take that same advice? We're willing to pass it on, but we don't really follow it. This may mean leaving a group of friends behind. This may mean avoiding a reoccurring situation, whether it be at work or at school, in your neighborhood, where you have fallen before. Self-control may also include preparing ourselves through prayer to our Heavenly Father for what we are about to encounter, an individual who pushes our buttons. And we have individuals in our lives that push our buttons, and we know who they are. If you can't avoid them, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. See that individual as a being made in the image of God rather than a nuisance, right? An image of God. And all of a sudden, we start looking at someone with a different set of eyes. It's not our eyes anymore. It's God's eyes. It's Christ's eyes. Self-control is not easy. I'm not saying it is easy. It is a daily struggle as a diabetic, like with my blood glucose. It is a daily struggle. However, it is easier when we have Christ as our source of strength and not rely on ourselves. As we seek to cultivate this fruit of the Spirit this morning, the fruit of self-control in our lives, the first step is acknowledging our need for God to be in control. Through humbling ourselves to Him, we begin to see our weaknesses, areas that we need to seek forgiveness for, and areas we need to seek guidance in. Self-control is not about me controlling myself. That's unfortunately how a lot of people see it as, me controlling myself. But instead, it's about being empowered by the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit that we proclaimed at the beginning of worship service today. That same Holy Spirit that we ask to guide us as we sing and join us for worship. That same Holy Spirit that walks with us every single day. Self-control is about being able to say both no and yes. No to ungodliness and worldly passions. And yes to an upright, godly life found in Him. So this morning, I ask you, what are the strawberries in your life that you struggle with? In turning our lives to the Lord, we can experience the sweet, lasting effect of self-control, not just today, not just tomorrow, but for the rest of our lives if we turn to God. This sweetness of self-control is far greater and far more pleasing than any bowl of strawberries. And I confess that to you today. Moreover, the impact on the world by our self-control is what's going to be so much more satisfying. Let's cultivate the fruit that is hard to cultivate. Let's pray. Father, as we reflect on those words from Peter and Titus, written so many years ago, we recognize the struggles, the temptations, the frustrations that they faced, and we can resonate with those. We have those times in our life where we struggle, we are disappointed, we are frustrated with the world and the people around us. But Father, when we feel that frustration, may we turn to our source of strength, which is You. And when You fill us with the Spirit, and we tap in to the Spirit working in us, we will be amazed at how self-control will be cultivated. Father, that's our challenge this day, to put our source of control in You so we can have self-control. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we come to this time of our singing, our closing hymn, maybe today for the very first time, you realize that Jesus Christ was the one who took that sin of self, us trying to affect and walk our lives in that sin that is shown by the lack of self-control. If this is your first time realizing that this morning, I encourage you to go to your knees and pray. Pray to God to fill you up with His strength and His Spirit. And I want you to call me this week, or to email me this week, or get in touch with me this week, or this day. And recognize that God is working in your life on a daily basis. And maybe today is for that very first time that you relinquish everything to Him. Or maybe you're seeking a church body and seeking to follow that discipline of self-control. Follow the discipline of cultivating fruits, not just in our own lives, but in our community. If you're seeking that church body, contact me this week and we'll talk about how you can be a part of this family at First Baptist Elon. Or maybe just today, maybe you had an experience this week where the lion was roaring around you. The lion was tempting you. And maybe today you realize, you know what? I got to give that to God. I got to give that situation to God. I got to give you that person to God, my feelings towards that individual. If that's what it is, go to your knees. Don't put it off. Don't wait and say, well, I'll just wait till the next time. Do it now. Because that will start preparing you for the next time you experience those same frustrations. Whatever your invitation, whatever your call is today, I encourage you to make it today. Let us sing together our closing hymn, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, and let us reflect on those words of how He has an influence in our lives. today, tomorrow, this week, and the weeks ahead. Cultivate the fruit of self-control and see what difference it can make. Goodness, self-control, more is coming. Join with us next Sunday morning as